Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this morning. We bless your name for all that you are to us. Thank you, Father, for your great love, for your blessings, and all your provisions in our lives. Here we are today, ready to hear from you and to receive your word. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we will experience you. You said you sent forth your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I pray that as your word comes forth today, may it bring healing. May it bring relief. May it bring hope and comfort. And may it deliver us from anything that oppresses and paralyzes our lives. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say, Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap, everyone. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of the nation. Oh yes, everyone needs compassion and love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of the nation.
I can do with the limited time that we have left. All right? And you know that this month has been our month of outreach and fruitfulness. And there are two reasons why we set the month aside as such. Number one is to create the awareness that really outreach and fruitfulness is the heartbeat of God. That's the first reason why we set the month aside as such. To create that awareness that outreach and fruitfulness is the heartbeat of God. Then another reason why we set this month aside as a month of outreach and fruitfulness is to help all of us to develop a lifestyle, which is a lifestyle of reaching out to the lost and helping to establish souls in the house of the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, let me make something very clear to all of us. That if we build churches and we don't win souls and disciple them, we miss God's heart. Did you hear that? I'll say it again. That if we build a beautiful church and we do not win souls and disciple them and establish them in the house of God, we've missed the heart of God. If we come to God, or we come to the house of God, and we worship God and we praise God, but we neglect souls out there who don't know the Lord, we've missed the heart of God. If we enjoy comfortable lives, yet others are suffering and others are perishing, we've missed God's heart. And it is my prayer that God will change something in us and make our hearts beat in resonance with His, so that the things that move the heart of God will begin to move all of us also. Can I have an amen? Amen. Can I have a louder amen?
Amen?
So today, I am trusting that God will continue to work on us and use us as vessels to reach out to other people and to bring them to the Lord. About 2 Sundays ago, I started sharing with you on stories about outreach and fruitfulness. And we talked about the woman who won her village. Come and see. All right? So it was a story of the Samaritan woman whom Jesus interacted with by the well. And I shared a few things with you. The first thing I shared with you was that outreach and fruitfulness must be intentional. Then another thing that I shared with you is that you cannot encounter Jesus and remain silent. The third thing is that for you to be effective in outreach and to be fruitful, there are things that you must leave behind. All right, so these are a few things that I shared with you. Now today I want to share another story of outreach and fruitfulness with you, and the subtitle of it is that faith that carries the helpless. Faith that carries the helpless. Hallelujah. So it's a biblical story that I believe has a connection to outreach and fruitfulness, but I'm tackling it from the angle of faith that carries the helpless. Will you turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And we want to read from verse 1 to verse 12. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 12. I read. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, verse 3, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So this is what they did. They dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." And Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'?" What do you think is the answer? Which one is easier to say? Say that again. "Your sins are forgiven." Is that not so? It's easier to say that. Verse 10. "So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stand onlookers. I think that you are clapping at the right place. Yeah. And the Bible continues and says, "They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, 'We've never seen anything like this before.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Hallelujah. Faith that does what? That carries the helpless. You know, my friends, in this story that we just read from Mark chapter 2, there's a very important, powerful truth that stands out, which is that sometimes God uses our faith to bring someone else to Jesus. Amen. That sometimes God rides on our faith to bring someone else to Jesus. Because that is what we see with these four gentlemen. That it was their faith that paved the way for this man to meet Jesus and to receive the relief that he greatly sought for. It was their faith that made it possible for this guy to be helped. And I want to say to you that one of the greatest acts of love is to help someone who cannot help himself. It's one of the greatest signs of love to love someone who cannot help himself or herself. And I pray that God will bring us to that place in our lives where every time we will embrace the opportunity to help people who cannot help themselves. What is your response? Hallelujah. So I want to move straight on and scrutinize this story closely. There are a few things that I want to bring out to you, and then we'll close today's service. The first thing that I want to draw your attention to is the reality of the helplessness, or let me put it this way, the reality of human helplessness in certain situations. That's the first thing I want to draw your attention to. the reality of human helplessness in certain situations. The reality that there are situations in our lives where we are helpless to save ourselves or to help ourselves. And that is one of the realities that struck me when I studied the scripture. So in verse 2 and 3 of Mark chapter 2, it says, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Who were they carrying? Paralyzed man. The man was paralyzed. What it means, ladies and gentlemen, is that he couldn't carry himself. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't move by himself. And he couldn't reach Jesus by himself. And the reason was because he was paralyzed. It means that he had to rely on others to help him. And ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the realities of this life, that there are many people who are helpless and paralyzed, who need somebody to come alongside them and to help them to make it through. That's one of the realities of this life. You see, I know that sometimes we get very weary and impatient with people who seem to have a lot of problems, and the problems are not going away. Have you met people like that before in your life? Yeah. I'm sure that there are some people, when you see their call, no, you choke. What do? You choke, because it's like, here we go again. Or when you hear a knock on your door and you go and open and you realize that it is that person again who seems to have endless problems, there's a certain annoyance that develops. And I can understand it. Because you see, there are some people who have what I call self-induced paralysis. It's not that they can't help themselves, but what they have to do to make it and to survive and to progress in life, they are not willing to do it. That's what I've come to see, that there are people like that. There was some time when I thought that it is true that there are no jobs in town. I used to think that it is true. That Ejuma Asa Ewo Kuru. Until I started helping out a friend of mine with his farm, Mrs. Aochimon's room. Now, here is a 20-acre farm. A lot of work to be done. And we are looking for workers to work on the farm. And where the farm is, there are a lot of unemployed youth. But they don't want to work. Look, if you ask me, I'll tell you that one of the major problems we've had with this farming adventure that we stepped into is labor. Where it's like, come and work on the farm, we pay you 80 cedis a day. You will do, you see. They won't come. That's one of the problems, the major problem. Even up till now, we are going through it. Because of that experience we had, me, I've told myself that it is not true that there are no jobs in town. People don't just want to work. Or sometimes people have these highfalutin ideas. Do you understand? Look, Abraboimu, one of the things that you have to learn is not to esteem yourself more highly than you ought to. Or the Ebrewase. Because if you don't do that, hunger will catch you. And you will not be able to take care of yourself. And sometimes you meet people and you realize that they are full of idiopathic pride. Or there, I will massage Edwin Owan and Tarsi. Idiopathic. Yeah. Because you now, when we look at you, you don't come from any Beye house. You don't have any major degree. You don't know any important person. Your surname doesn't carry weight. Yet, it's like you have all these unrealistic ideas. Instead of descending and coming down from your high horse and getting something practical to do so that you can take care of yourself and take care of the family that God has given to you, they won't do it. I know of people who have had job offers made to them and they've despised it because it doesn't feel Beye to them. So it is true that in life sometimes you will encounter people like that and it can easily put you off. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth stands, however, that there are actually people in this life who are helpless and who are paralyzed. Sometimes because of the environment that they find themselves in. Look, it's easy to also just dismiss everybody, you know, but I've also realized the flip side of it is that sometimes because you've not been through something before, it is difficult for you to understand why somebody is going through that thing. But the truth, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are people who are actually paralyzed and helpless in this life. There are people who are physically paralyzed. There are people who have been paralyzed by where they grew up, the environment they found themselves in, the circumstances of life. Nobody to give them a push. Have you heard me make this statement before, that you are as great as the help you receive? Everybody needs a helper. Everybody needs help of one form or the other in this life. And there are people who are paralyzed in this life and helpless because there's nobody to help them. There are brilliant people roaming on our streets, selling, yes, PK. Look, they are not there and doing it because that is what they want to do with their lives. Among them, you will find very brilliant people. They were not Tiwi. If they had had a certain push and a certain assistance in life, I tell you, they would have done well. they would have done well. And the reason why you and I are sitting here today looking so shepherd and so nice, look, especially you, the sisters, if you like, come. Let me cut off your hair. Yeah. Let me cut off your hair and wipe your face in a certain way. Because as you are sitting here, there are things. Are there things or there are no things? There are a lot of things. If I take off those things, there will be very little difference between you and Kosiani Meko, Kosiani Meko, Kosiani. There will be very little difference. I'm telling you. And there are people who are paralyzed in life, physically. There are people who are going through health challenges. It's paralyzed them. There are people who are paralyzed mentally. Paralyzed. I think this morning I saw a TikTok video that somebody had forwarded to me. A classroom, and the teacher is asking the pupils, what is the capital of Ghana? The first one said Ghanaian. The second one said Mahama. And then the third one said Gold Coast. That's not too far. I am describing peoples that if I were to take a good guess, I'll say that they are about 12, 13, 14 years old. And the answers that they are giving the answers confidently with a smile on their faces. They are paralyzed. The system has paralyzed them. Because when you don't have a type of governance that creates opportunities for every citizen, irrespective and immaterial of where they are, then you're going to have a disparity. You know, when we decided to set up our education fund, initially our mind was that we are setting up an education fund to help brilliant but needy students. But then one of the members of the committee said that he doesn't think we should do that. That we should open things up so that even average but needy students will get opportunity. Why? Because there are people. And he told the story. And my wife was telling me that when he was telling the story, he was even teary and emotional. But there was somebody like that that he decided to help. This guy didn't have any Beye marks from school, but he decided to help the person. And the person ended up becoming what? A three people. Yeah, it's a family of three. And because he reached out and extended help to them, their lives have greatly changed and their lives have greatly improved. Gone to the university and are working now today. Look, let's not downplay on this thing that I'm talking about. That there are actually people who are paralyzed and helpless. There are people who have been paralyzed by they are paralyzed maritally, they are paralyzed financially, they are paralyzed, and it's like nothing is working for them and they are just helpless. But I think that the most serious form of paralysis is spiritual paralysis. where a person is separated from God, where a person does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, where a person's life does not involve God, and the person is under bondage and captivity to sin, to addictions, and to guilt. That is the greatest kind of paralysis. And this morning, I want to draw your attention to this reality, that there are people connected to us, people around us, family members, friends, colleagues, neighbors, workmates, even a random stranger. There are people around us. There are people God brings our way. There are people we encounter and meet in the journeys of life who are paralyzed. And ladies and gentlemen, God is expecting us to do something for them and to help them. One of the reasons why you are saved, and we heard it in that drama presentation, is that you have been saved. In fact, it's the main reason for your salvation. You have been saved to save. And let me extend it to the blessings that you are enjoying. Maybe you are here today, you feel that your life is not baby, you've been shortchanged, and you are struggling. Look, you want me to show you real struggle? Real struggle? You want me to show you real struggle? I tell you, what you are going through and experiencing compared to what others are going through is like the difference between day and night. The thing that you are complaining about, if somebody were to get what you have, he would not stop praising God. And I want to say to you that if you are blessed, if you're doing well, if you have prospered, if it is well with you, always tell yourself and remind yourself constantly that God has blessed you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus. The second thing that I want to draw your attention to is the compassion of true friends. The compassion of true friends. And again in verse 2 and 3, it says, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. It continues, while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Four men arrived. And they arrived carrying this their friend who was paralyzed. You know, I think that the most beautiful part, the most touching part of this story has to do with these four guys. We don't know who they were. We don't know their names. But they saw that their friend, their brother, had a great need. And they did not disconnect from him. They did not cut themselves off from him. They decided to do what they could to change his life and change his situation. And their actions changed this man's life forever. You see, true friends, they don't just watch you suffer. They will do what they can to help you. True friends, that's what they do. True friends have a lot of compassion. And if you have people like that in your life, guard them well. Do everything that you can not to lose them. Because one of the tricks and the plans of the enemy is to cut you off from the people who will be there for you, who actually love you and care about you. And it's something that we need to watch. And you see, compassion is such that compassion is defined as having a deep, tender love for someone else, or it's a deep, tender love that moves a person to act for the good of others, especially those who are hurting or those who are in need. That's what compassion is. It's a deep, tender love that moves you to act on behalf of somebody else who is hurting or somebody else who is in need. That's compassion. A lot of people, when they see that you are going through something, they'll just tell you, "We will pray for you." Now, how many of you know that is not true? we are with you. We are with you in prayers. It's not true. They may pray once, twice, but that's the end of it. That's what they'll tell you. "We will pray for you." Or they'll tell you that, "Oh, we hope that things get better for you one day." Maybe these guys could have told their friends that, "Oh, Charlie, your situation, Charlie, bad power. But they hope, say, one day you meet Jesus. That Jesus will come to your area and all your problems will go away." But compassion is not like that. It moves to do something about the situation. And it is backed by a certain kind of action. It's like you tell yourself that, "No, I can't rest until I do something to help this person." That's what true compassion is. And we see it in the story of these guys, that they did not disconnect from their friend. They stayed with him. That's what true friends do. And I want to say to you that there are people that God has connected you to. He is expecting you to stir up your bowels of mercy and compassion for them. Because without that, you cannot help them the way God wants you to help them. And yes, there are people around you, they are spiritually paralyzed. And they need you to have that feeling, that deep, intense love for them, to drive you to help them and to do something about their situation. They are family members. They are friends. They are colleagues. They are neighbors. We relate with them. We interact with them all the time. But the reason why we've not done anything to help them is because there's something that we don't feel for them. But the Bible says that God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. So if you are a child of God, you have that potential to show love and to show compassion to others. And we see with these guys that they had great compassion. And their compassion demonstrated that they are true friends. Do you know when you will know that you don't have friends? When you are in trouble. Yeah. Get into trouble. And then that's when you will see. Sometimes people you've been there for, people you have cared for, people you have loved, when you have a problem, when you are in a crisis, when you have a challenge, they don't want to have anything to do with you ever again. And I've been there. I have been there. I have been there where I woke up one day and realized everybody was gone. And that is when I realized that true friends are essential commodities. And that's why I'm saying to you that if you have people in your life who have demonstrated time and again a certain love and care and concern for you. Value them, because such friends are essential commodities. Hallelujah. My time is up. I got to end. And I don't know whether I can continue next. But I think it's okay. Just these two things that I've shared with you is enough to carry us through. Number one, the reality of the helplessness of humanity. And then the second thing that I've shared with you is the compassion of true friends. And maybe let me just touch on this last one for today, which is this: the recognition that only Jesus can turn things around. The recognition that only Jesus can turn things around. When the guys carried their friends, where did they take him to? Now, hold on 1 minute. What was wrong with the guy? Paralyzed. And paralysis is a kind of sickness. And when people are sick, where do you take them to? Hospital. That's where you take them to. Why did the guys not carry the guy to the hospital? Or to the herbalist? Ahabai. James, Abai is government. Ahabai. Yes. They did not carry him to the herbalist. They did not carry him to the hospital. Why? Because they realized that the thing, no, the way it is, no, it's only Jesus. And they recognize that this apathy, what he's going through, it's only Christ who can turn things around. Now, I want to say to you, my friend, that there are things that you are battling with and dealing with in your life. The only one who can turn it around and save the situation is Jesus Christ. You've tried so many things. Tried so many people. You've looked for help from all kinds of places. It has not worked out for you. You have not been able to help yourself. There are people who can help you, but they will not. There are people who are willing to help you, but they cannot. Do you get the two groups? Say it again. There are people who can help you, but they will not. Have you met some like that before? And then there are people who are willing to help you, but they will cannot. The means is simply not there. And one day the king of Israel said to a woman who screamed out at him, "Help me, O king." In 2 Kings chapter 6. "Help me, O king." Now, when somebody comes to you and says, "Help me," must your first question not be, "How can I help you?" That's what you have expected that the king would ask. "How can I help him?" But the response of the king was that, "If the Lord doesn't help you, who am I?" Or "Whom am I? Whom am I? How can I help you if the Lord himself doesn't help you?" And I want to say to you, my friend, recognize that there are things that you're dealing with, things that you are battling with, things that you are struggling with. The only one who can help and turn things around is the Lord Jesus Christ. And today you have an opportunity to come to him and hand over every challenge, every problem, every difficulty to him and say, "Lord, take over. My breath, my yeah, it's not changing. It's not getting better. Help is not coming from anywhere. I tried very hard, but the harder I try, the worse the situation becomes." I want to say to you, let's take it to Jesus. Let's carry it to Jesus. And I want to say to you also, my friend, as I close, that once again, there are people connected to us who by now we should have recognized that the situation with them, no, it is only Jesus who can help them. So if we know that, it means that we have a responsibility to do what we can to guide and direct them to Jesus Christ. Sometimes there are obstacles. I think that one of the most annoying things is you can see that somebody needs help. You are trying to help the person and the person is trying to frustrate you. I mean, you saw from the drama, is that not so? Yeah, these are obstacles. When the guys brought their friend to Jesus, there were obstacles. The place was crowded. The door was blocked. There was nowhere to pass. And to bring people to Christ, sometimes you meet obstacles. Sometimes people's attitude and stubbornness and behavior are shameful. And you can easily tell yourself that, go out. If you don't want me to help you, you can go to hell. It's annoying, isn't it? You can see that somebody needs help. They are trying to help the person, and the person is playing the fool. But we have to learn how to overcome all these obstacles, like these guys did. Look at what they did. They went to the roof and they broke through. I used to think that what they did was they removed roofing sheets and all of those. But this version says that they broke through. So they came with hammer, chisel, and all of that. And they were breaking through because they wanted to get their friend there. Why? Because they recognized that Bonapadi, if only Jesus Christ, we will be solving problem for him. And today, I present Jesus to you. Somebody invited you to church today, but you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's waiting for you. And today you need to take that decision to surrender your life to him and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you are here today, you're saved, you're born again, you're a child of God, but you are carrying a heavy load, a heavy burden. The only one who can take it off your shoulders is Jesus Christ. It may be something to do with your finances. It may be something to do with your marriage. It may be something to do with your health. It may be a certain addiction, something that you are struggling with. The only person who can turn things around, and you must recognize that today, is Jesus Christ. And I present to you today the lover of your life, the lover of your soul, the savior of your life, and the savior of your soul. Can we rise to our feet? God bless you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, I have gone beyond our time. Please bear with me, but I need your attention. And I need your focus and your concentration. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. This afternoon, before we exit, I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. You want to say, Pastor, I've been touched by the word of God. And it's very clear to me this morning that the only one who can help me, bring me out of every paralysis situation of my life is Jesus Christ. I need him. I need him desperately. I've tried so many things. I've tried to help myself. It's not worked. I've tried to get help from others. That has also not worked. I need Jesus. Can you help me to find Jesus today? You want to say, Pastor, I'm spiritually paralyzed. It looks as if everything is going well for me. But deep inside me, I know that my life is empty. There is a void, and now I recognize that only Jesus can fill that void. Can you pray with me today? Yes, I can pray with you. And this morning, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand? And I'm going to pray for you today in the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand very clearly. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Lift it up very clearly so that I can see. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you are watching me. I can see you, but the Lord can see you. But you know that you know that you know that your life is empty and meaningless, and you need purpose to your life. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. Right where you are, you can lift up your hand to him, because he's been waiting for you for long. Run to him and run to his mercy seat today. God bless you. Now, can everybody pray this prayer with me and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. I realize that I need you like never before. Oh God, take control over my life, over my situation, over my circumstances. Change me, Lord. Make my life brand new. Show me your glory and show me your power. From today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve him. I will follow him. I will live for him. Oh God, please write my name in the book of life. Thank you that today I am saved. I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.